Worship is God's people gathered in God's presence to carry on a conversation with God and each other. And this morning, our conversation is going to focus and be built around the Lord's Prayer, as you can see in your bulletin. God has things to say to us, and we certainly want to respond this morning. So as we come together, I'm going to invite us to stand and greet one another. If you have an announcement, please come forward at this time to share those. Let's stand and greet one another. Come forward if you have an announcement.
Good morning. I'm just here to announce another reminder for the retreat next weekend. Hope to see a lot of you there. Just this is the last weekend to sign up, just so that we have numbers for food and lodging and everything like that. Super excited that Lynn will be sharing. The theme is going to be forgiveness. So maybe think about that this next week as you prepare to hear what he has to say. I'm excited just because it's a great weekend to retreat. We get to retreat together to spend time just focusing on what's really most important in all of our lives, and that's our relationship with God and with each other. So hope to see a lot of you there. Can't wait. Thanks.
It's quilting workshop time, so be ready to volunteer. We'll be having the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board soon. It isn't there today yet, but you know, there's lots and lots of places and we need lots and lots of help. So I hope that you're willing to do it. It's just a short-term experience, but it impacts many, many people. So we look forward to that and all your help. Thank you.
Today after church, there's a MYF fundraiser meal to help support our youth convention trip to Kansas City this summer. The menu is cheddar chowder, garlic French bread, and chocolate cherry cake with ice cream, so please stay for a good meal.
You'll also see in your bulletin that we're calling this Sunday World Fellowship Sunday. And each year, Anabaptist-related churches around the world are encouraged to worship around a common theme close to January 21st. And because this date is important, in 1525, the first Anabaptist baptism took place in Switzerland. World Fellowship Sunday provides an opportunity to remember our common roots and to celebrate worldwide with other Christians. Would you please join me as we do our responsive reading this morning from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 7. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets.
From Zion, her great beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent.
A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages.
God summons the heavens above, and the earth, and the judges.
Gather to me this consecrated people, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens
for he is a God of justice. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you wanting to meet you here as you call your gathered people together. We want to make your name known, and we ask that you would be known in us. Bless our worship. Bless this time of focusing on the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. May it speak to us. May it deepen our dialogue with you. We ask in your holy name. Amen. Let's sing together. Matthew.
This will be a somewhat different service of worship. Rather than having songs and then a chunk of a message, we will be following the lead of Mennonite World Conference, which has asked us to focus on the kingdom of God, specifically in relation to the Lord's Prayer, the prayer for God's kingdom. So please pray with me. That first phrase, the first pair of couplets from Jesus' prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now in Luke's gospel, the Lord's Prayer begins with actually a prayer on the part of the disciples. When they come to Jesus and they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And that meant that they were ready to go further, to go deeper in their relationship with Jesus, and to declare themselves even more to be his disciples. Because it was the custom of rabbis at that time to have and to share, to teach a signature prayer of their school, their ministry, a prayer that encapsulated their message and their ministry. And so that to pray this signature prayer of any rabbi was to identify oneself with that teacher, with his message and his ministry as that rabbi's disciple. And so Jesus' reply was this. You'll see it on the screen in the original Aramaic script, and you'll also hear it prayed in Aramaic by a brother, a pastor in the Syrian Orthodox Church. Listen to it as you hear it now. Those were the actual words that Jesus taught his disciples in the Aramaic language that they shared. And if you could hear something of a rhythmic nature to it, and even some rhyming with some phrases, that was absolutely the intent. As Jesus taught it originally, it came in five sets of couplets, like one for each finger of the hand. And the oldest and the best manuscripts simply have it in these five phrases. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Two parts of that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's another couplet. On earth as it is in heaven. Fourth one, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the fifth one, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Five simple couplets, each one like a parallel expression of the other, each one leading in some way to the other, accessible to all, whether they know how to read and write or not, whether they are scholars or not, easily memorized, can be taught to all and can be taught by all one to another. And like all Jewish prayers, it begins with praise of the Almighty and the Creator, of God and of God's name, but with a difference. Traditional Jewish prayers begin often with, or usually with, praise of God for his complete otherness and holiness and awesome majesty, such as, blessed be the name of the Most High, the Master of the Universe. Well, Jesus' prayer also begins with such prayer, in a sense, for God's otherness and majesty, with the words, Our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be thy name. But in contrast to that, there's also a deep sense of affection, intimacy, and nearness, sort of the imminence of God within us and among us. Because the first word addressing God is the Aramaic Abba, a term of intimacy, endearment, and closeness, and affection, basically meaning in our English, Daddy. And it also expresses great intimacy and connection among us because it is our Daddy who is in heaven. Mennonite World Conference then asks us today to remember and celebrate and cultivate the very same things. Our intimate connection of spirit with our Abba Father, and therefore with each other as well. Think about that as we sing this first set of songs.
Our Father who art in heaven,
our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name,
hallowed be thy name,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be. Give us this day our daily bread.
And give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts.
Forgive us our debts.
As we forgive our debtors.
As we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power.
For thine is the kingdom and the power.
And the glory forevermore.
And the glory forevermore.
Of this song tell us why we're here and why we pray.
Jesus calls us here to meet
as through word.
Please pray with me now the second and the third couplets in your bulletin. Together, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Again, the focus recommended to us by Mennonite World Conference is the kingdom of God, one that I am always very happy to share and teach, because it is also the main focus of the prayer, the teaching, the ministry, the life, and the person of Jesus. Now, naturally, we would wonder, where did he get that? Well, from everything that the prophets of the Old Testament promised, everything that the prayers of the Psalms prayed for. And when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now at hand, he was saying that it is now coming to pass throughout the earth. For example, what he might have had in mind was Isaiah 11, verse 12. In the words that God will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the quarters, the four quarters of the earth. And that second couplet, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, flows so naturally into the third couplet, on earth as it is in heaven. And that fits also with the Hebrew and the Old Testament vision of heaven, that it is not a separate place way up there, way out there, but rather another dimension, another reality, just a hair's breadth away from the one that we are used to and that we live and move in. For after all, in Genesis 1, we read that heaven and earth were created by God, simply separated by our fall into sin. And yet that separation is so often breached by prayer, sacrifice, worship, by the angels, by the Spirit of God. And those two, heaven and earth, are to be reunited in the fullness of the kingdom of God, as we read at the end of John's revelation in chapter 22, where he saw heaven descending as a city to reunite with earth. Just as the prophets of the Old Testament promised, that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the Mennonite World Conference, the kingdom of God, that hope and promise of heaven and earth's reunion is especially important. If you look in your bulletin insert, you will see the seven shared convictions of all partner denominations of Mennonite World Conference, including ours, Mennonite Church USA. And that Article 7 says, as a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's a powerful explanation or description, expression of God's kingdom and how we live in this world, even now, as citizens and ambassadors of God's reign. Last week, I contacted several friends and leaders and members of Mennonite World Conference partner churches and offices. And you might remember Cesar Garcia, who spoke at our church last fall. He is the executive secretary of Mennonite World Conference. And he sends us these greetings from his office in Bogota, Colombia. He writes, quote, "It is a blessing for me to be part of the kingdom of God alongside you, brothers and sisters, who rejoice celebrating this World Fellowship Sunday and discerning together what it means to be part of that kingdom and to seek justice. It is my prayer that God will lead us in this task and that together we may walk sowing seeds of compassion, righteousness, love, and respect in each of our contexts. It may be our home, our work, our church, or our neighborhood. Remember that the kingdom of God is here and is to be lived now. Thank you for your support and for keeping in mind our global church. Please pray for our churches under persecution, like those in India, Vietnam, and Eritrea, for countries in which conscientious objectors are persecuted, like South Korea and Colombia, and for those churches that are facing issues of land, like our indigenous churches in Panama. You will find more information about these issues in our website. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Pennsylvania 2015. Please keep praying for our global assembly. In Christ, Cesar Garcia." We can put his picture down now. And about those conscientious objectors in Colombia and South Korea. At a March 2014 meeting of the Mennonite World Conference Peace Commission in Holland, Jenny Neme, the director of Justa Paz, a Mennonite peace and justice advocacy organization in Colombia, heard about the case of San Ming Lee, a member of the Grace and Peace Mennonite Church in Seoul, South Korea. Lee is the first Mennonite in South Korea to declare himself a conscientious objector, and he is currently serving a jail sentence of 18 months for that. Over 92% of the world's prisoners for conscientious objection are in South Korea. Neme and Justa Paz have shared Lee's testimony with Colombian Mennonites who've also been in a struggle for getting recognition for conscientious objectors. Many individuals and churches there in Colombia have sent him letters of encouragement and prayer. And according to Neme, part of this response comes from shared experiences. Quote, "This is something that can happen to us in Colombia as well, that one of our young men could be imprisoned," she noted. "As well, we are witnesses that when we have needed urgent responses from our brothers and sisters in the world, it has worked. Let us celebrate this kingdom and our solidarity together in the next song we sing.
Number 57 in the Sing the Journey book. This song comes from South Africa. My Yenziwe Nando Jago, my Yenziwe Nando Jago, my Yenziwe Nando Jago, my Yenziwe Nando Jago, my Yenziwe Nando Jago. Your will be done on earth, O Lord. 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 My Yenziwe Nyando Jago, my Yenziwe Nyando Jago, my Yenziwe Nyando Jago, my Yenziwe Nyando Jago, my Yenziwe Nyando Jago.
Would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray together. Lord, for the many ways that you provide for us, thank you. And out of those provisions, we are able to share with others to make you known in our homes, our neighborhood, and the world. Amen.
Please pray with me the fourth couplet. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. About 70 years ago, in a city that is very important in Mennonite Anabaptist history, right around this time, January of 1945, there was a massive German offensive towards the end of World War II to retake the city of Strasbourg. It failed. However, one thing notable about that was on perhaps this very Sunday, in one sector of the fighting, a brief truce was arranged so that both German and Allied soldiers could come celebrate the Mass in a small stone Catholic chapel somewhere there in the area of Strasbourg. And so the German soldiers came in their field gray or their white, snow-white camouflage and stacked their weapons on one side of the chapel. American and French came in their olive drab uniforms, stacked their weapons on one side of the chapel. And the reason I mention this is because in that city, so important to Anabaptist history, they prayed in the Mass together, the Lord's Prayer. They would have both sides known it in Latin, including the words, "Forgive us our debts," in other words, our debts of sin, "as we forgive our debtors." And then towards the end of the service, they would have said to each other across the aisles and all throughout the church, "Pax vobiscum," peace be to you. And then the benediction at the end of that would have been, "And the peace of the Lord be upon you." And then when it concluded, they took their weapons on the way back out and went back to trying to kill each other. And if that strikes you as strange and incongruous and almost unbelievable in one way or another, well, there is an organization worldwide, a movement worldwide, committed to keeping that as strange as possible and reminding us how incongruous that is, and that is, again, Mennonite World Conference, where we are committed to being the people who share the peace of God and mean it. Or someone said, "We believe that when Jesus said, 'Love your enemies,' he meant it seriously, and he was talking to us." The sense of peace is very important to the Mennonite World Conference's understanding of the kingdom of God. From Isaiah 9, verse 5, comes another description of that promised kingdom. Words we often hear around Advent and Christmas, from beginning in verse 5. "Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." The Russian Orthodox theologian and philosopher Nicholas Berdyaev said, quote, "My bread is for me a material matter. Whether my neighbor has bread or not is for me a spiritual matter." And in the Lord's Prayer, in this couplet, we see how justice, peace, bread, meeting material need, and forgiveness of sin, forgiveness for our offenders, are two sides of the same coin. Whenever we pray these words of the Lord's Prayer, we are confessing that we depend as much upon the bread of mercy and forgiveness day by day, just as much as we depend upon the bread of the earth. This was demonstrated at the last, most recent gathering of Mennonite World Conference, the World Assembly in Asunción, Paraguay, where there came onto the stage in front of thousands of people gathered there, two persons from Paraguay, both pastors and leaders of the Mennonite churches there, one of them an Indian chief as well, and one of them, one of the original settlers who came after World War II from Ukraine out of the German colonies there. And the Indian chief, well, the two men had first gotten to know about each other when the Indian chief, some 60 years ago, killed the other man's brother with a spear. Because this other man's brother, the other pastor's brother, had gone out into the bush with some others as emissaries of friends, wanting to establish friendly connections and relationships with the Indians who had lived there. But the Indians had already experienced over the centuries so many terrible things from outsiders, Europeans and others coming, that they were fearful. And so as this one Mennonite recently emigrated from Ukraine went out to meet with these Indians, the other chief killed him. But some years later, finally some friendly connection was made, trust was built, and this chief became a Christian, confessed to other fellow Christians what he had done, was received and forgiven, and now both the brother of the man who was killed and the chief who killed him are both pastors and leaders of the Paraguayan Mennonite churches. And that's reflected in Article 5 of the Mennonite World Conference Shared Values. Quote, the Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life so that we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. While we sing the next song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, I invite the children to come forward for the children's story. But I ask the children to sit on the front benches here because we're going to have a video.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Good morning, how are you all? Good, okay. What do you think? Is this the only Mennonite church that has children like you about your age in it in the world? No. Do you think other Mennonite churches have children your age in the too? As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you some pictures from another Mennonite church in Africa, in the town of Ordara, in the country of Burkina Faso. I was there visiting 4 years ago, and I took some pictures of what of them and what their life is like every day. And I think let's project the first one. It's a video, and you'll see them in worship, the children's group here. Okay, did you understand what they were singing? They were singing in the language of Jula, and it was their time during the worship service to sing. And that's a very crowded church there, by the way. It was just packed everywhere. Now, some of the, let's see, let's show the next slide. This is some of them at home. See the little girl, she's got her brother, little baby brother, tied to her back. Her name might, the one on the, on sort of your right there, her name might be Aminata or Fatumata or Asiatu, or maybe she's got a French name like Constance or Fidelite. You can see some of her other brothers and sisters and family around there. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, and this is some of the things that they do during the week. Would you like to spend your day out in the brush following donkeys around so that they graze and then you bring them back home at night? Would? Well, that's what these young folks have to do. Next slide, please. Oh, watch this. What do you think that they are doing? Well, they're watching me taking pictures of them, but I started wondering, what is this tubabu, this white person, doing here? Any idea what they're doing? They're drawing water. They don't have plumbing inside the house. They don't have sinks there. So the children's job is often to go to the well in the middle of the town. And this one they made easy. You can draw water up by turning that wheel. But they still got to carry these big buckets of water home. And it's for drinking and for washing and cooking. Let's see, next slide.
Is that common for that country to have those type of wells? Are they everywhere?
More and more. Some of them are operated by foot pedals and some by that, but often you just drop a bucket down on a rope and you pull it up over your head. These boys are spending their days in the bush following the cows and the goats and the sheep around, and you might see they have big sticks. What do you think the sticks are for? To chase away snakes, or if hyenas come up and want their sheep or something like that. So they have to be fairly courageous with this. Let's see, next slide, please. Oh, here's some artwork that they sent back with me. I asked them to draw pictures of things that were important in their life. And this one is drawn by Lucy. There's a Lucy here, isn't there? Yeah, well, Lucy Giada is her name. She drew a picture of her school and of other things in her life, like a water pot and a tree and a mortar that you grind grain in. Next picture, please. Oh, then this is a picture. Somebody drew a picture of the church. And his name, let's see. Oh, her name, Honorine Wedraugo. And she was probably about, maybe 9 years old when she drew this 4 years ago. And it's a picture of her church building. And she wrote on it, Dieu est merveilleux. God is marvelous. Okay, next slide. And this person, let's see, what's her name? Last name is Traore. I can't remember, read the first one. But this person also wrote, all the creatures of God are marvelous. And she likes ponds with fish and elephants. Okay, next picture. Okay, that's actually for the later on. Sorry. We'll have that one later. Okay. Now, I'm going to keep track of some of your questions. If you could ask a question of the children in the Oradada Church, what would that be? And if you know what? I'll send this to a friend of mine by email. I'll send those questions, and then hopefully the children in that church will be able to answer them and get the answers back to you. So if you'd like to ask them a question, what would it be? Anyone? What would you like to know about their lives or their church? Would you like to know about their pets? Or about their school? What would you like to know, Cassidy?
Did they bring food to church for breakfast?
Okay, do they bring food to church for breakfast? Okay, good question. What else? What else would you like to know? Anything else?
I'm not a child, but I have a question.
Okay, sure.
What do they do with the donkeys? What are they for?
Okay, what do they do with the donkeys? Okay, I'll send that question along too. Maybe the adults have questions for them. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I will send them your greetings and see if we get any words back. And I'll tell them that you got to see some of their lovely artwork. Shall we pray for them? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for children here and for children all around the world. And God, thank you for the children who are also learning the same Bible and the same faith and learning to know and love the same Lord. And bless us as we grow to do the same. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Please pray with me the fifth couplet. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that is not a prayer for the faint at heart. It is a prayer definitely not for an easy, comfortable life. It assumes that we have some shared ethical and spiritual values and standards that we don't want to breach. Also that we will face hostility or at best sometimes indifference. Persecution, opposition, common trials. You heard Cesar asking us to pray for brothers and sisters, for example, in Nigeria, because most of the churches that are being burned and the believers driven out in northern Nigeria are also churches of a partner church in Mennonite World Conference, the Brethren in Christ Church of northern Nigeria. Boko Haram has targeted them particularly. In India, Christian churches, including the Mennonites, are facing rising Hindu nationalism and pressure to convert to Hinduism. Indonesia is the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, and for most of the time, Christians and Muslims get along well, but they are not unaffected by the rising tide of Islamic militancy. And in Eritrea, the Mennonite churches are part of the same denomination as the Mennonite churches of Ethiopia. And yet those two countries still have something of a cold, sometimes hot war going on. And so the Eritrean Mennonites are looked upon as possible traitors, fifth columnists, and treated that way. From drug lord land of northwest Mexico in the province of Sinaloa, I got this word of greeting from Otoniel Soto, who spoke with us last year too. He writes, God bless you. Receive greetings from the brothers of the Mennonite Church of Northwest Mexico. For me, it is of great joy to receive news from you. Thank you for having me come preach in your church. I remember you with much affection. My wife and children are well, thanks be to God. They are growing very rapidly, and my wife is very much occupied with all that there is to do with the children. We have gone through various changes in recent months. Now we are living in the parsonage because we are youth pastors in my church. We also minister in worship, teaching, and preaching. We have various projects in the church, and now our focus is on accomplishing a training workshop for new leaders. We will also soon have a youth camp, which will occur during the spring vacation, if so favored by God. We ask for your prayers so that the plans and projects may be accomplished by God, and that he might pour out his blessings upon us. In the spring, we will have a workshop for pastors and leaders also with the brothers of the Lancaster Mennonite Conference of Pennsylvania who wish to work together with us to pull off training workshops for new leaders in Northwest Mexico. The brothers Rick Troyer and Samuel Moran will also be helping us in this workshop. We have much desire to serve the Lord and are struggling every day, preaching the word to those who have never heard. And we wish also to disciple new believers, thus fulfilling the command of the Lord Jesus, who gave us the Great Commission. It is an honor to serve the Lord Jesus with you. Thank you for your prayers. I also bring you other greetings from the shadow of the Grand Mosque of Bobo-Dioulasso. And now we can show that picture. In Burkina Faso. There we go. And in the very poor and heavily Muslim neighborhood of Colma in Bobo-Dioulasso, next picture. The Mennonite pastor and church planter, Joseph Sinu, who you see next, writes to us. And when I took that photo of him, I did not realize that there was a clothesline directly behind him, but oh well. And he writes this to us as well. We give thanks to the Lord for his work in Bobo-Dioulasso. In the Colma neighborhood where I reside, we thank God for the salvation of lost souls. Colma is a very Islamic neighborhood where there are over 60 mosques. To create contact with these residents in the hope of communicating to them the gospel, I have started teaching literacy in Jula for all those who wish to attend, for Muslim women as well as Christians to take part in. Every evening we have a program of teaching with children, those of the church as well as of the mosque take part. We have started a primary school which serves as a great means of approach for children and their parents. As for subjects for prayer, he writes, that we might break through the hostility of Islam so that many can come to know Christ, that the courses of literacy in Jula, the teachings for the children, the primary school will all open hearts toward Christ and the gospel. Pray also that God will attend to our needs so that my fiancé and I can marry on the date set next April 18th. A word of encouragement for us. Solidarity, as much as it is a good word, is for the Christian an interior orientation which expresses itself outwardly by first seeking the interest of the other after seeking one's own, according to God. My brotherly greetings to your family and to all the church community. May God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing number 8 from the Sing the Rejoice. Sing the Journey. This song comes from the Misa Popular de Nicaragua. It was written at a time when in Nicaragua they were in the middle of a civil war. And they had people also coming into the chapel from both sides.
Somos pueblo que camina por la senda del dolor. Acudamos jubilosos a la Santa Comunión. Acudamos jubilosos a la Santa Comunión. Los humildes y los pobres limitados son de Dios. Acudamos jubilosos a la Santa Comunión. Acudamos jubilosos a la Santa Comunión. We are people on a journey, pain is with us all the way. Joyfully we come together at the Holy Feast of God. Joyfully we come together at the Holy Feast of God. God has sent the invitation to the humble and the poor. Joyfully we come together at the Holy Feast of God. Joyfully we come together at the Holy Feast of God.
Jana will be bringing the microphone for any testimonies, prayer concerns, joys, or needs that we wish to share as well in this time of prayer when we pray for each other, but also for the worldwide church. If you have such a testimony, care, or concern, please raise your hand so Jana knows where to go.
This is Floyd Lapp, and many remember George Bogren and his family who attended church here quite faithfully for a long time. In light of the subject we were talking about this morning, he met at my house with Wendell and I, and George is really trying to get back on track in terms of his spiritual life. He's also trying to get things together so that he can become a citizen instead of an alien. And he shared with us all of the paperwork and stuff that he's going through. And it's really something to do that. Keep him in your prayers. And also for he and his family, that they can hang together. Thank you.
I want to say thank you to many people here that are volunteers. We had a busy weekend with two funerals, and you know, it's not just our facility that we share with others, but there's people involved with sound, with the kitchen, preparing food, making sure the heat's turned on. So I want to say thank you to people here that are those people, just volunteers willing to help us when we share our facility. Thank you.
Last Sunday evening, I got to go visit with Lorna Reen, and she was feeling so good she was bored. But yesterday a fever came back again, and she is back up at OHSU, and they'll know more later today, but it's just kind of up and down. So just keep Lorna and Mike and Michaela in your prayers.
I do know that Cheryl Mast also was able to come home yesterday. from her surgery, so she just needs a lot of rest and recovery now, but things went well with her. So to continue to remember Cheryl in our prayers.
And remember as well Lloyd Martin, who will be also going in for surgery again this week, prostate related. So please keep Lloyd and also in your prayers.
Anyone else?
Please join me in prayer. And as I bring each section of prayer to a close with the words, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Let us pray. That you, your name, might be worshipped as you are worthy, that your kingdom might be welcomed, beginning with ourselves in this church, and that your honor and your kingdom might grow within us and among us and through us to the world in worship and faithful witness, in words and works of grace and of truth, that you would be honored in our thanksgiving, dear God, for the many gifts and much time that was given this weekend in the celebration of life, for the health returning to Cheryl Mast, and other things that we bring to you, God, out of thankfulness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As you have overcome the world, Lord, may your church throughout the world grow in grace and in power to overcome suffering and opposition in faithful witness. Especially this we pray for our partner churches facing violence, corruption, poverty, and persecution in Northwest Mexico, in Eritrea, in South Korea, Colombia, and in Northern Nigeria. That you would grant them, Lord, power to endure and a testimony of love all the brighter for the darkness that they inhabit, a brightness that draws even their enemies to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray as well for the persecutors, that even their hostility will reveal to them their need for you to melt their hearts and to draw them to yourself. As members of your one body in this world, show us what is our part in ministering to our partners in persecution and in need, O Lord, such as that of George returning to you and seeking status for his family, for Lorna, who continues to need healing and help, for Lloyd, who will have surgery this week, and for others facing needs that we know and bear in our hearts and that burden us. Dear Lord, that we might share each other's burdens, that you might so unite your body in a solidarity of suffering and of support and solace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And that we here might be open to learn from our global partners, as well as to share with them, that their bold witness and their costly endurance might challenge and enrich us, that we might bear each other's burdens worldwide, but also in this community, in this congregation, in particular those among us who grieve the losses of loved ones, of jobs, of relationships, that you might touch each of us with a healing grace where we need it most. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All our faith, our fears, our sorrows, and our solace, our hopes, and your will and vision for this world, we bring to you in union with Jesus and his church at all times and places through the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We just prayed together that sixth phrase. I said there were five couplets in the original prayer, and we closed with, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The earliest manuscripts and copies of the Gospels with the Lord's Prayer end with the fifth one, Later on, we start to find that for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory were added because of the worship practice of the church. I can understand completely how in settings like this, in worship, the church would want to end the Lord's Prayer with praise just as it began. And so these words from David, from one of his Psalms, and also from 1 Chronicles were added as the bookend to the prayer and liturgical use, and then were later included in some copies and manuscripts of the Gospels. Anabaptism started out as a powerful movement of gospel reconciliation throughout Europe, but because of the terrible persecution, it drifted into something of an ethnic group of related families and clans with common language and cultures. And I'm grateful for the way that these families and the generations kept that Anabaptist vision alive, often at great personal cost. And they not only kept it alive, about 100 years ago, they started sharing it again with the world, beginning in Indonesia, India, and also with Cheyenne Indians on the Great Plains. And that, because of that, Anabaptism became again a global movement. And the existence and the growth of Mennonite World Conference shows that this is so. Every year when I go back and check the Mennonite World Conference website, the numbers of churches and the places where there are churches has grown. And this is very timely because right now I think we are moving into a time when two massive global forces are emerging and fighting for our worship because both of them are equally religious. One of them is sort of the growing media-fed global market capitalism that is increasingly secular, increasingly immoral, and even anti-religious, versus militant Islam that is feeling increasingly disaffected and disgusted and targeted by this growing global market economy and reacting against it with violence to impose a harsh version of Islamic law, Sharia, as the alternative. And each of these two forces are just perfectly matched to provoke and bring out the worst in each other. And so they seem to be currently locked into an escalating conflict. One offers us love without law, and the other celebrates law without love. The Anabaptist perspective on the Christian faith offers love to all people, but loyalty to no systems nor ideologies, only to Jesus and the kingdom of God. That brings us into resistance in both directions, but without this kind of reaction, because in the Anabaptist vision, our real enemy is our enmity. We are in a fight not against flesh and blood, but to display Jesus faithfully in our flesh, even if by death. That puts us in a new 16th century moment that is calling forth from us new evangelists and new martyrs. And our brothers and sisters in the Mennonite World Conference are already showing us how. May we continue to learn from them. Peace be with you.
Bless the name of the Lord to each other.